This is Studio 395, a production of the Department of History at JMU and its Historical Research Methods course, History 395. I'm Henry Ford VI. Joining me today is Jackson Irby, author of The Addicted Soldier, his paper that explores the drug crisis experienced by American soldiers during the Vietnam War. Mr. Irby posits that the widespread availability of dangerous addictive narcotics led many young American soldiers to utilize drugs like opium, heroin, and marijuana to escape the horrors and stressors of that infamous conflict. Out of survival, this rampant drug use had parallels in the prolific drug craze in America during the early 70s, and his work considers and compares the relationship between the drug war at home and abroad. Thanks for joining me today to talk about your paper, Jackson.
Oh, it was great to be here.
Awesome, awesome. So let's get into it. You mentioned how easy it was for these soldiers to get a hold of these drugs that really lent to this addiction crisis while they were there. And you mentioned the Golden Triangle as being sort of the main syndicate, the biggest influence in making these drugs available. And I just was hoping you could expound upon that idea a little bit more.
So the Golden Triangle is an area close to Vietnam, which is a combination of three countries, Thailand, Laos, and Myanmar. It was a location where the poppy seed plant grows, which can be turned into not only opium, but also the heroin. It's also a major port of marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
American GIs that were stationed in Vietnam during this time had easier access to the Golden Triangle, which I name a great port for drugs during this occurrence, and it really made drug prices cheaper, easier getting great quantities, and it was kind of not really seen by the world as an issue.
So the American soldiers, they sort of came upon this drug trade that had already been going on, like an already established sort of thing.
It had been there. It's been there. I know in my paper, the poppy seed it was domestic there. This is where it was grown. So it wasn't like it was something new. It was just when the U.S. entered the war, this was just a spot. This is where drugs came from. It made it a whole lot easier.
I see. So you talk about the relationship between, the drug war at home, the drug war abroad. Do you believe that these soldiers were sort of brought sort of that drug culture to Vietnam and thus made it easier to get addicted? Or do you think the drug culture in Vietnam that these soldiers were experiencing really sort of boosted it back home?
I believe that the drug culture came more or less from the United States. I believe it was brought to Vietnam in a way because these are what these young GIs faced at home. I believe it elevated in Vietnam. I believe, like I said before, we're a product of our environments. So the soldiers who necessarily weren't users, and the few numbers that there were that were users of heroin, I'm not saying everyone used heroin in Vietnam by any means.
Of course.
But I believe addictions rose. Because of the terrors, you have friends who you lose, you don't know if you're gonna lose friends every day. I gave three examples of notes written home, and these people were risking their lives. They're putting their lives on the line for freedom, for liberty, for this country. And so it more or less came down to, I believe what came from home. It stemmed this drug culture that came to Vietnam, bought by American GIs, came from this hippie culture, from this late 60s, early 70s experimentation culture.
And then just the fact that drug trade was already so established there just made it all that easier to get sort of addicted.
The access was beyond what we think about. It was in their face. Mm. It really was.
And how do you think that sort of translated to Nixon's war on drugs? Did he really address that? How did American sources really address the prolific drug use during the war? You think it was kind of hush-hush?
I definitely believe it was hush-hush. I make it clear that journalists did not come to Vietnam looking for drug users.
Mm.
Drug users in Vietnam, it was known that people were users, but it was one of those things that was put to the side.
Right.
I believe that when people found out, when the press found out and it came home, it was crazy. People couldn't believe this. You know, this is the myth of the Vietnam soldier addicted to heroin. Would you ever think in your wildest dreams that a soldier, someone who's fighting for a country, would be a drug user? I don't think so. That's something that's just very hard to believe.
So I was interested more in how the northern communist Vietnamese soldiers played into this drug triad going on. Do you believe that they used drugs just as much, or perhaps they didn't because they feared the consequences?
I believe the northern Vietnamese soldiers were brought up differently. What I've noticed is, and when I say that brought up differently, I mean like they were taught that using drugs such as heroin, you know, any sort of drug that comes from opium, even marijuana, they were kind of brought up to think that that using drugs was a criminal offense. And I'm not saying that it's not like that in the U.S., but in the U.S., you're kind of given a softer consequence. You're put in facilities like rehab facilities. And that was kind of how these soldiers were treated. The U.S. soldiers, the northern Vietnamese soldiers, and from what I understand, were not the users. They were not, even though the drugs were around them, I think they grew up knowing that the drug use would lead to, I guess you say, more serious consequences.
Right, right.
And comparison, like I said, to the U.S. soldiers, they were kind of given a lighter punishment. You know, you'd see people who were marijuana users who were caught using marijuana were not necessarily punished as much.
Right, right.
And the opium users were kind of swept under the rug. They were kind of pushed to the side.
Right, right. They were trying to sort of bury that notion to maintain the face, whereas the communist soldiers, I mean, if it was caught, they were in deep water automatically. So, of course, the sort of big idea here that I want to give you a chance to elaborate on is just who was the addicted soldier?
All right, so the addicted soldier was an American GI in his youth, newly drafted into a new environment, experiencing new things such as the horrors of war, the loss of not just fellow soldiers, but fellow brothers in arm. The addicted soldier is someone who, through not just trials and tribulations, but through stress, found a different pathway to get away from this war.
A survival element, really.
Survival, really. And that survival tactic was the use of heroin. The getaway, the safe haven. This allowed soldiers to the use of heroin allowed soldiers to break away from war, allowed them to get away from what they saw every day. And it was a stress reliever. I note that in my paper that PTSD during this time was known as military fatigue. People just believed that soldiers were just tired and they just needed to rest themselves.
Right, right.
But this was something more serious.
Right, it sweeps serious mental illness under the rug. Right.
I don't feel like we had ever, as a country, been a part of something as dramatic as this. We had World War I, World War II, but the Vietnam War, we were in a jungle, and not our jungle. We were in a jungle where people did not want us to be in. And young soldiers who faced and saw the terror and the, I guess you'd say, the issues of war and the inhumane images that rest in their mind, I think eventually led them to use drugs. Originally, that being either could be marijuana and then stemming from heroin. And then eventually this would carry home. You know, addictions don't just leave. I'm going to ask you this. When was the last time you ever heard of someone who was a doped up or some doped up addict just the next day losing his addiction? I would say never. You know, I believe this goes just along the lines with the soldier.
Yeah.
There's no way someone who was in this environment could just one day go home, forget it all, and get away from the tactic that took him away from the fear which he saw.
Right, and that fear lingered, obviously, when they got back. And, you know, I thought it was really sort of strange how you talked about only 5% of these veterans came back and reported that they were still addicted. And I just thought that was a really exceptional number. Yeah,
That came from a Lee Robbins, Darlene Davis, and David Nurko, study done by SODAP. The study was called How Permanent Was the Vietnam Drug Addiction? And it's crazy to me because they studied urine tests. They took about 13,730 enlisted men, and out of that about 14,000 men, 1,400 came back with positive urine tests. And out of that 1,400, only 5% were marked as still addicted after the war. And for me, that's hard to believe.
Right.
How could – I mean, like I said before, addiction isn't something that just goes away. I hardly believe that a heroin user could go just cold turkey. And this was what was thought, you know. I believe, like I said before, this issue was swept under the rug.
Right, right. Back to that sort of censorship idea. I wanted to close with maybe something – maybe this question is a bit beyond our scope here. But I wanted to – I was really wondering, do you think that in light of all this, without the drugs, without that prolific drug use, without the Golden Triangle, without the addicted soldier, would this war have been the same?
No, I definitely don't believe this war would have been the same. And that's because I referenced hippies, hippie culture in this. And I believe this war was kind of wrong place, wrong time. You had a culture in the U.S. where people wanted to break away from the norm. They were people that, like these hippies. Right. The hippie movement was basically flower child-esque. Break away from institutions.
Right, challenge
the norm. Be your own self. Experiment. It's a life culture. It was really based on life. And finding life outside of, I guess you'd say, the and being anti-government. I think that's like my biggest thing. And I believe that culture was taken to the war. It's kind of like we have to break away from just doing the regular. Heroin use, I think, is a big part of that. Just because that's a breakaway. That's a breakaway from what the norm is.
And it's an escape.
It's an escape. It's an escape at the same time, yep.
Wow. Well, thanks again, Jackson. You know, that's really enlightening and telling about such an, you know, intriguing, horrific, and just, you know, widely, like you said, sort of underrepresented time.
Sticky topic, too.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, you can't – there's really no right answer when you have these, you know, people doing what they need to do to survive and protect their mental health. It's just – it's such a deep topic, and I just wanted to thank you for, you know, taking the time to talk about that with me today.
Oh, anytime.
Of course, of course. Well, that's all the time we have for this evening. To all our listeners, thank you for listening to Studio 395. More interviews on a wide range of historical topics and subscriptions to our podcasts are available on our show page at sites.lib.jmu.edu/studio395. To learn more about the history major at James Madison University, please visit www.jmu.edu/history. Have a wonderful day.